Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication, and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
What's up? It's a bonus episode.
Bonus.
Kathleen.
Uh-huh.
I am excited because it's mid-August, which means that it's almost September, which means that it's nearly October.
It's fresh fig season.
Yeah. Oh, you had fresh figs for breakfast, didn't you?
I did. I mixed them into oatmeal. It was so delicious.
Look at you.
I went to Trader Joe's and I saw the figs on display and I went, ah! people around are like, huh? What's going on with her?
Loves figs.
I love me a fresh fig.
So because of that, I've been listening to my favorite spooky podcasts
already,
to get into the mood.
Bethany.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Already, and I won't be shamed for it.
Okay.
And so it made me go back through our archives. Every, you know, spooky season, we ask you taste buds to send us some of your true spooky stories. And we had some leftovers from last year. So Kathleen, would you be okay with reading some spooky stories for this bonus episode?
I left my spooky fog machine at home.
That's okay.
But I guess, go ahead.
Okay. So if you submitted one last year and you never heard it, you might hear it now. Also, I'm not entirely sure what the coding system was, and so we may have read all of these already. I don't know. Let me know if they sound familiar.
Okay.
But I don't think we've read any of
these. I don't think we did.
Okay. All right. So here we go. This is from Christina.
Christina
says, this story is 100% true, and she used an exclamation point, and so I believe her. She calls it a shadow among the tombstones. Turns on flashlight under chin.
That would be a great novel.
Turns on flashlight under chin, or a shadow among the tombstones.
I don't know. You pick the one you like.
All right. Says Christina, it was early October, about 20 years ago, back when I was but a teenage goth wannabe. It was a Friday night, about 8 p.m., and my friend Lisa and I decided to go hang out in the small cemetery that was just around the block from her house.
No, you don't hang out in the cemetery. That's the number one rule.
Always hang out in the cemetery. Always.
No.
It certainly wasn't the first time we'd hung out there, but this particular night, I had goosebumps from the moment we set foot inside. I remember that the shadows that night were particularly vivid. Every tree and tombstone in that cemetery seemed to stand out, even though it was already dark. I don't recall what we were talking about, but suddenly Lisa stopped mid-sentence. She pointed over my shoulder and said, "Someone's here.
Someone's here.
Someone's here. Someone's here."
I
turned, and sure enough, there was a perfect silhouette of a tall, thin man standing just a few tombstones away from us.
No.
A shadow man.
No.
He seemed to be staring right at us. My head started pounding and my mind racing. I said to Lisa, "I think we should go." But before I could get the words out of my mouth, she was calling out, "Hey, what are you looking at?" Don't do that.
I'm looking at the man.
The shadow man didn't move. He didn't reply either. We stood facing each other for what felt like hours before suddenly he turned to the right and walked a few paces down the row. I felt a slight twinge of relief that he appeared to be leaving. But then he suddenly dropped down behind a tombstone. Lisa and I looked at each other in shock. What the heck was going on? Was he hiding? Did he fall and get hurt? I wanted to get out of there as quickly as possible, but Lisa had other ideas. She ran over to the row of stones where we last saw the shadow man. Not wanting to be left alone because cemetery.
Yeah, you don't leave your friend alone in the cemetery at night.
Ever. I quickly followed her. We paused at the head of the row and stared into the darkness. For some reason, we slowly started walking toward the spot where the man had disappeared. Part of me felt like I was about to regret this decision, but another part was insanely curious about what was about to happen. When we finally reached the grave where the shadow man had vanished, we saw that it was fresh. Just a damp mound of dirt.
Oh.
And that was it.
My.
We ran out of there fast and didn't go back after dark for quite some time. Jazz hands, clicks flashlight off.
It was the guy. It was the guy that was just buried. It was his spirit.
Uh-huh.
He was leaving his body.
Mm-hmm. And then poof, back into his grave. Poof. There he goes. Poof, back into his grave. You look so unhappy.
No, I'm just thinking about the logistics of this, and it's not agreeing with my stomach.
You can't think of logistics. It's spooky.
This is making me want to go home and watch Sabrina on Netflix.
Mm-hmm, I know.
I haven't seen the new season yet.
I haven't. Well,
have you seen any of it?
Yes. I think I've seen all of it.
God, I love Kiernan Shipka. She is my style icon. Even though I'm 15 years older than she is. Bethany, do you have any idea what you're going to be for Halloween this year?
No, I don't think I'm going to be anything. I'm going to be myself, which is scary enough.
Every year I have the same goal. Yeah, you are self. I just realized what you said. Every year I want to be Sarah Jessica Parker in the opening of Sex and the City when she's wearing the tulle skirt.
Yes.
And the pink tank top.
Yes.
And
her breasts are not brassiered.
No, her nipples are straight out.
Yeah.
And she's got that like short, very curly hair. And then the bus pulls up behind her and splashes her with water.
Totally.
I say to myself every year, this is the year that you execute that look.
Do it. I'll be your bus.
It's never the year that I execute
that
look.
Do it.
No, I think I'm just going to go as Mary Poppins.
That's also cute.
Or I have a bear costume, a onesie bear.
Read your email.
Hi, ladies.
Hello.
First all, love y'all.
Thank you.
You're so relatable, and it's definitely my favorite podcast.
Well, that's what they wrote last year.
I know.
I hope it still applies.
Short story, but probably one of the weirdest and scariest things I have ever encountered.
Yes.
My girlfriends and I were taking a small little trip to St. Louis. It was a short flight, so we were stuck on one of those, you know, those small planes.
Ugh.
They're just unnerving to begin with, right? The flight was not full, so we decided to sit in the last couple of rows. And as we were waiting for everyone to settle in, we saw an odd-looking lady walk past our row to use the restroom in the back of the plane. A couple of minutes passed, and the flight attendant came by to close the overhead bins. We let her know that we saw someone go into the bathroom, but we haven't seen her come out. We were talking across the row, so there's no way we would have missed her. We were leaning over the row. The flight attendant went back there to knock on the door, only to come out and say that there was no one in there. It was the longest short flight ever and boggles my mind to this day.
They all saw the woman go in?
They all saw the woman go into the bathroom. I have a solution for this. I have a solution.
What's that?
The solution is that there was a human woman. It was not a ghost. And she was a stowaway. And every single plane bathroom has a little compartment where you can get into the cargo hold. That's my prediction. I don't know if this is fact.
I think that that's not fact.
This is from the facts of what I think is right.
From your brain not wanting to believe that they saw a fully formed ghost human walking on their plane.
Bethany, don't you ever, sometimes I think about this, don't you ever just want to see if you could disappear? It is one of my life goals.
Like disappear as in like change your identity and never be seen again? Or disappear as in like your body is no longer visible?
Change your identity and never be seen again.
Yes.
And just travel as a stowaway.
Impossible, but yes. You, from what I know, you either have to plan super far ahead or you either have to be super rich or very, very poor is what I've heard.
It's one thing to like buy a house on a remote piece of land and never see anybody, but it's another thing to make your way through everyday society going undetected and interacting with people, but pretending to be somebody else.
I think it's almost impossible now because of everyone has phones, cameras, there's cameras everywhere, everything's filmed.
Is the witness protection program just like a story from movies, or do you think it's like a thing that really exists?
I think it's real. I mean, look, if you have the muscle of the government behind you and they're able to make fake passports, fake identification, like it's not your stoner buddy's weed dealer who's doing it. Like if it's the actual government, I think that it's more effective, but it's tough. It's hard to do.
You really, truly have to think everything through.
That's why they say you either have to be super rich so you can plan ahead and you have contacts, or you have to be like really poor so unfortunately no one cares about you, because we live in a society where you have to be rich for people to really give a damn if you go missing.
There's this show on Netflix. It's called Imposters. It got canceled after 2 seasons, but the 2 seasons are so, so worth watching. It's about a team of people who rip off rich, wealthy guys. And so there's always like a hot girl who marries the guy and like swindles all of his money away, but she gets a new persona every 4 months or something like that. And she goes and makes the guy fall in love with her, and then she takes his money.
I just want to do something where I have to go brunette.
Like Reese Witherspoon in that country movie?
Yeah. I just want to go brunette. Somebody cast me in something where I have to be brunette.
I understand that. You know when a celebrity shows up to the red carpet and they're brunette and you go, or they're blonde, yeah, like whatever the opposite of their hair is, and you go, oh.
Like so-and-so is unrecognizable as a redhead.
Like Emma Stone, who's not a natural redhead.
Correct.
Every time she shows up somewhere blonde, someone's like, who's that?
She's unrecognizable as a blonde. Zooey Deschanel's unrecognizable without bangs. Kathleen, unrecognizable in context.
Oh, I know. That's how I go undercover.
Kathleen, do you know what my two favorite things are, my hobbies?
Oh, do tell.
My number one hobby is sleeping. Mm. My number two hobby, napping.
You just love a wide variety of things in your life.
So most people spend about a third of our lives in sheets. I spend more, but that's personal preference. So you want your sheets to be incredibly comfortable.
Incredibly comfortable is a must.
Yes, and that's why we've partnered with Brooklinen.
I just love Brooklinen so much. Brooklinen was founded in early 2014 by a husband and wife team. Their name is Vicky and Rich Fulop. And they wanted to find beautiful home essentials like sheets and blankets and duvet covers that didn't cost an arm and a leg.
If you have recently bought sheets, you know that to get good quality sheets, you have to pay so much stupid money. Why are they so expensive? Brooklinen are luxury sheets without the luxury markups because there's not a middleman taking all your money.
A couple of weeks ago, Bethany and I got our Brooklinen sheets and pillowcases and duvet covers in the mail.
Oh.
They are, and I'm not joking, I slept on them last night, beautiful, airy linen pieces that they just give my bedroom this like chic, relaxed feel, and they provide ultimate comfort.
Yeah, and they have so many different colors and styles, and you can mix and match, which a lot of companies don't let you do. If you want pillowcases that are different and contrasting from your sheets, you can do that. It's in their name, so you know it's good. Brooklinen's newest linen collection is amazing. We cannot recommend their products more, whether it's for someone who just graduated or newlyweds or friends or family or for yourself because you deserve it because you're awesome.
Buy them for yourself.
Yes. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just for our listeners.
Get 10% off and free shipping when you use our code TASTE, T-A-S-T-E, at brooklinen.com.
Brooklinen is so confident in their products that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty.
The only way to get 10% off and free shipping is to use our code TASTE at brooklinen.com. That's B-R-O-O-K-L-I-N-E-N.com with the promo code TASTE.
Brooklinen, these are the best sheets ever.
Woot, woot.
Woot, woot. All right, Kathleen, you let me do the spooky side. What did you bring to our bonus app today?
I brought science.
Oh, science.
Okay. This comes from our taste bud. I want to change her name.
Okay.
There's highly sensitive information in this email.
Oh.
Let's call her the Little Mermaid.
The
Ariel.
Ariel.
Hannah.
Hannah. We already had a Hannah.
Cinderella.
We're going to call her Audra McDonald.
Audra McDonald.
One word, first name, Audra McDonald.
Okay. Audra writes to us.
Audra McDonald.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen.
What's up, Audra McDonald?
I'm going to get right into my dilemma. I decided to take the plunge and learn about myself and ordered a 23andMe kit earlier this year.
Okay.
Both sides of my family have a number of health issues, so I really just wanted to get it off my head, any potential health problems that I was going to have in the future.
Oh, that makes sense.
I was excited to take control of my health history when my results showed that I was a carrier for just only a few minor health issues. My dad heard about my results and he really wanted to see what his results would show. So that was around Father's Day. I bought him his own kit. About a month and a half ago, he got his results. I was able to log into his account and help him walk through his results. Parents, am I right?
Oh.
I get it.
My grandma, we tried to give her a computer once and she kept losing the cursor on the screen. She just wanted to play solitaire.
Oh.
And she called it solitary, but she couldn't find the arrow. And finally we gave up.
I know. My mom asked me to come over tomorrow to help her check her health account from her doctor. Bless her heart.
Hey, Beth, I lost the cursor again. Where'd the little arrow go?
Okay. I noticed that I didn't show up as biologically related to my dad when I was in his account.
Hmm.
I didn't mention anything, but subtly checked my profile status to make sure that it was public and also to see if he showed up on my profile.
Okay. So you have to be public in order to show up on each other's profiles. Gotcha. Okay.
He didn't show up in my profile.
Ooh.
So I sent a message from his account to customer support and from my account, and 23andMe offered to run our DNA match again if we bought the kits. I did, and we got our results back last week. No relation.
Whoa.
So I'm torn about what to do with my quote unquote not dad. We don't have a good relationship by any stretch of the imagination. I stay in minimal contact to avoid drama. My initial reaction is just not to tell him and stick with the 2 or 3 times a year minimal that I see him. Sometimes I feel like he doesn't deserve to know because growing up, he was sometimes physically abusive.
Okay. And she elaborates, but it's pretty jarring.
Yeah, I'm not going to read everything she says, but okay. Audra, we are thinking of you. There's one last part that throws a huge wrench into this.
Okay.
I talked to my mom.
Wait.
My mom knows. And the reason she knows is because I was conceived through IVF.
Okay.
Needless to say, my mom was in absolute shock. She can't contact the fertility clinic or hospital that I was conceived through or born at because they have both been shut down. So now she's going to get a kit to see if we are even related.
Okay, wait. So if I have this correct, she was implanted with IVF. Mom assumed it was dad's sperm.
Yes.
But the clinic mixed it up and it was not her dad's sperm.
It was not dad's sperm.
So it might not even be mom's egg.
It might not even be mom's egg. 23andMe may reveal to Audra that her mom carried her and she's somebody else's baby.
Okay, so I wrote down the question, what if dad already knows that he's not her father, but then he doesn't because this is I thought that maybe it was a different situation. So
yeah.
He probably doesn't know. Holy Hannah. Oh my gosh.
She says, in another vein, I don't know if I'm thinking about this too much. On the 23andMe subreddits, a lot of commenters say that it's important to be honest when you come upon results like this. I don't want to be a liar or deceptive because I hid this from my dad. Not sure what to do.
I mean,
what do you guys think?
I don't think that, honestly, for me, your dad doesn't even come into the equation for this. This is about you and your mom. I think that it's important that you did it because of medical stuff.
Yes.
I think that's the most important. I think that you... the thing that worries me is, like, if you say it to your dad, if he's still abusive, is he going to lash out?
Yeah.
Does your mom still live with him? If she tells him, is she going to get hurt?
Yeah. And is he going to take you out of the will because you're not...
I thought about that, too. I was like, do you have money coming? Like, which is awful.
It's an awful thing to say. But I feel like if you grow up with a parent who's abusive...
Yeah.
And you endure... all of that shit and that absolute garbage life for so long as a kid.
Yeah.
The least they can do is include you in the will.
I mean, and the things we kept out of the email, he's a monster.
He's not a good guy.
No.
So you're right. At this point, I think it's between Audra and her mom.
I do too.
To see if she's related at all to her mom.
Yeah.
Because if she's not, that is a crazy, you got to call Channel 7.
You got some lawsuits against whoever owns those companies. And also, let's go way down the road. Let's say that it shows that your DNA is not the same as your mother's.
Mm-hmm.
That does not change your relationship with your mother. If you and your mom are close, your parents are the people who raised you.
Yes.
So even if you're not biologically related to your mother, that doesn't change the fact that she's your mother. Now, does it introduce some complicated feelings and some like, well, do I want to reach out to other people who might be?
Yeah.
You know, well, that's other. But don't let it come in the way of the relationship that you and your mom have, which is not any different because you're not potentially blood related. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, you might say, hey, I thought I looked like you my whole life, but I guess not. It's all in my head.
It's
also interesting to see if anybody in her family who can tell her who she is pops up on 23andMe.
Yes. I fully am terrified of these things, and we all know why. See also the movie The Island. But, like, for these things, I think it's really good because it can answer health questions and it can also help clear up paternity.
Can I tell you something interesting that happened to me via 23andMe just last week?
What?
So I got a notification that I had a new family member.
Uh-huh.
And I have people I'm related to on 23andMe, over 1,000 people I'm related to.
That's nuts.
But so many of them are so far removed that it would be like impossible to trace. So I only really focus on anybody who's like a fifth or fourth cousin and up.
Okay.
So I got a notice. You have a new third cousin.
Ooh.
So I said, cool, okay. I've also, I spent a lot of money this year on the Ancestry.com, like the highest level profile you can have, because I'm finishing my family tree this year.
That's so cool.
And I have it back to the early 1800s. Like I'm really, really, really far back. And I do this a couple nights a week. So I messaged my third cousin, this person who I've never met before in my whole life.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be too detailed about it because it's not all that exciting. But my grandmother was her great-grandmother's first cousin.
Okay.
So I said, hi, so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. This is how, I think this is how we're related. Your grandma, blah, 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 my grandma, blah, blah, blah. And I said my grandma's name.
Yeah.
And she wrote back to me and she goes, hi, it's so great to connect. You're not going to believe this. My sister just had a baby and we were looking through my great-grandmother's wedding book.
Uh-huh.
And we were looking at the lists of the names of the guests. And she liked my grandmother's first name and middle name so much together that her sister, who was pregnant, freaking named the baby my grandmother's name.
That's amazing.
And
now there's that direct connection.
She has a niece. This girl has a niece who has the same name as my grandmother. And I've never met this girl.
That's crazy.
She's my third cousin.
That's crazy. Where does she, are you guys going to meet up?
No, she lives in Alabama.
Oh, that's nuts. It's so funny. These things are very exciting and like they're helping solve crimes. But in this situation, man, that's so scary.
Audra,
I can't even begin to imagine that fear of being like, what if everything has changed? My worldview has changed. And I don't know how much it does and doesn't change your worldview.
I wouldn't tell my dad because based on his, if I were Audra, I wouldn't tell my dad. Based on his past.
Yeah.
I don't see anything but negativity coming from telling him.
Yeah, I think you're right. I would keep Dad out of this. I think he's behaved in a way where you can't trust him.
And if he were ever to cross the line again and be abusive, I would just say to his face, turns out I'm not your daughter, peace!
Oh, shit!
No, that's probably not the best way to tell them.
I would find out what the will looks like, and then I would say, or not say, in accordance with that.
On his deathbed, you just whisper very softly in his ear.
Oh, man.
We have no DNA relation. And just let him live with that.
For the next 30 seconds.
It's messed up.
That's wild. Oh, will you keep us posted, Audra McDonald, and let us know what happens, what the results are.
Yeah.
And how that lawsuit against whoever is left over from that company.
It's insane.
Which means that there are so many other families who probably are dealing with this too that use the same IVF clinic.
It's an episode of Law and Order, I think.
Yeah, totally is.
Oh, all right, Taste Buds, thanks for joining us on this bonus wild ride.
Yeah, we love you. We'll talk to you probably tomorrow.
Ghosts and IVF.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, geez, yes.